great day today. Let's give him some big hand. Thank you, Jesus, for being on your throne. Tampa, can we welcome our South Shore campus? Give them a big hand, Pastor Hector. Doing amazing. Now let's welcome our Plant City campus. Give them a big hand. Pastor Michael, great job. Wonderful, 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 wonderful. God's doing so many awesome things. Second campus, in 1 year, we are quite amazed. God is good. How about we go to him in prayer? Let's do that today. Father, we love you. Thank you for the grace that you are giving your church. We thank you, God, for leadership. Lord, we don't want to forget. As we're praying, we want to remember the Bahamas right now. And Umberto, all the extra rain, the winds, all that's going on there. Pray for leadership. We pray for resource. We pray for rescue. Father, let us be a part of that together. We thank you for your sovereignty and your protection. Redeem that place in your goodness and your glory in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Can we give him a big hand again? Come on. God is so good. Delighted that each and every one of you are here. We're in a brand new series called Notes to My Younger Self. And so if you're brand new, kind of what we're talking about is if you could write a note to your younger self, what would you say? What would be inspirational? What kind of encouragement? What would you say to you? And then also, if you went forward, what would that person say in the future to you right now to help you in your direction going forward for the grace of God? And so as we get together, we want to reflect, and then we also want to project in the Lord. Last week, we started, and I said, what I would say to myself would be, it's okay to not be okay. Everybody okay with that? It's okay to not be okay. There are times in your life when stuff hits you, and really, it's okay to not be okay. Here's the summary we came to with that. It's okay to not be okay because Jesus makes a way when there is no way. Jesus makes a way. He does. He's sovereign. So today, as we go forward, and I kind of look back at my younger self, and you'd put yourself there, I want to say this. The right kind of defense, the right kind of defense will help you to overcome every offense. Every offense. Because we're all offended at some time or another, aren't we? We're all offended. Well, maybe you got offended coming in and out of the parking lot today, all right? God bless you. There are Christians among you. Do not give the first finger a fellowship. Some of you just got that. We can get offended easily, can't we? And so this applies in the natural, and it also applies in the spiritual. Since we're talking about the natural, can we just talk about offense and defense? Can we talk a little football here just for a little bit? Can we do that? Is that okay? Can we do that, church? Yeah, some of you are like, whoa. Some of you are like, woo. Some of you are waiting for football season. Some of you lament it, all right? God bless you. How many of you have a favorite team? All right, any Gators fans in the house? Woo! Seminole fans. Woo! God bless you. We love you. They're going to get better. Just wait a little bit. Just wait a little bit. Everything comes with time, right? Anybody for the U? Oh, no, no. Okay, there's a couple of U. All right. How about USF? UCF? I guess they're all right. I mean, great teams. They're great, great teams. I was actually born in Tampa. How many of you are true Floridians? True Floridians. Woo, woo, woo. God is good. I was born in Tampa, moved to Norman, Oklahoma when I was 7, and I became an Oklahoma Sooner. God bless you. I love you. Thank you very much. And there have been seasons when they were, you know, long seasons, whenever. Matter of fact, they can't play defense right now. I'm getting into football. Let me get into the message. Okay. Sooner born and sooner bred, and when I die, I'm sooner dead, except for the fact that I was born in Tampa. And so there's an adage in sports that goes like this. Defense wins, and if you know it, say it with me. Defense wins. Championship. Say it with me, church. Defense wins. Okay. It's true in the natural. It's true in your personal life. It's true in the work life. It's true in your spirit. And so I just want to set this up for you. If you learn how to defend yourself in Jesus, If you really learn what Jesus did for you and you learn how to defend yourself, you will overcome any and every offense, every sin against you. God will do something supernatural and sovereign in your life to protect you if you learn how to play defense. And here's what I would say to my younger self in a little bit more extrapolated form. Here's what I would say. The best thing, and I want you to look at you when you were 8 or 9 or 10, before you've had too many bumps and bruises, and I know that some of you experienced some stuff very early that was really bumpy and really bruised you. Okay, listen, the best thing you can do for yourself, young Greg, young Cindy, Mike, Bill, and the best thing you can do for yourself is to become a person who is unoffendable. Come on, can I get an amen? Yes, sir. Unoffendable. Learn how to forgive. Can you look at your younger self and say that? And would you go into the future and say that to yourself right now? Would you say, learn how to forgive? Learn how to forgive the big stuff. Learn how to forgive the little stuff. Learn how to forgive everybody in every circumstance, in every situation. Learn how to forgive. It is your defense. And that defense will deflect or neutralize every offense. It'll neutralize and deflect. It can put down every offense. There are a zillion things that we could be offended over, right? And man, could we talk about that? In the culture we live in, it could be anything. We could split the church now. Right now, we could divide up teams and all, or we could start talking about politics. Wow, we would get hot in here quick. Race, religion, creed, color, people in the church, all of those things can come to bear when we're talking about it. Values, neighbors, friends, moms, dads. Anytime we can keep offense on the sideline, it's better for everybody. It's better for everybody. And here's some truths that I want you to know sort of foundationally as we set the tone to go into the message, get to the meat of it today. Some of the worst offenses occur not just when I'm sinned against, not just when things happen to me, but when I take an offense for somebody else. How many of you ever take an offense for your kids? Now, for your wife or your husband or your kids, it's time to go now. Right? Some of those, the worst offenses that take place aren't just against you, and there's some really, really bad ones. It's being offended for somebody else, and at times we can even be offended at God. We can be offended at God. And so another truth that I want you to know is all of us have been offended, right? Every single person I'm speaking to has been offended at some time or another, right? Everybody? Everybody. All right. Also, we have been the offender. Has everybody here you offended somebody at some point in time? Yep, sure have. So here's what happens to me. I want God to deal mercifully with me, don't you? I want him to be easy on me. I want him to forgive me. But I sometimes forget that in asking for my forgiveness, I don't give that forgiveness to somebody else. And so I'm like, Jesus, I think about my offense and I say, it was an oversight. I didn't have my Snickers bar that day. Thank you for forgiving me, Jesus. And then I turn right to them and say, could you please drop a boulder on them? Anybody else? So it's quick. It's easy to do that, isn't it? To minimize our own stuff and to maximize other people's stuff. Other people's stuff. So here's what the Bible says. Join me. Offense is mentioned 73 times in the scripture, and there's two kinds that I want to describe today. One is scandalizo. It's called scandalizo, and you'll see it on the screen. Something said or done that is offensive. This is kind of the run-of-the-mill experience that we have with offense. It compares to annoyance, occurrence, an incident, a trouble, a misunderstanding, something that is misinterpreted. How easy is it to misinterpret something? It's very, very complex. The human interaction is really complex. Anybody who's married knows what I'm talking about. Come on, you can smile. So you're like, dang, he said marriage. Here's a little illustration. I want you to see. This is a mom texting her son, right? I just watched the film where a man's wife is brutally murdered by a serial killer and his son is left physically disabled. In a twisted turn of events, his son is kidnapped and he has to chase the kidnapper thousands of miles with the help of a mentally disabled woman. The son says, go to the next one. What was it called? Mom said, Finding Nemo. easily misunderstood, right? Here's what the Bible says to do if you're offended, scandalizo, this normal, everyday occurrences. Here's what the Bible says. It says to shake it off. Shake it off. Give me a little shake. Give me a little shake. That's right. Some of you use your hands. Some of you use your shoulders. Some of you use hands and shoulders. Shake it off. The Bible says when these normal, everyday occurrences, just shake it off. Just shake it off. Proverbs 12:16 says, fools have a short fuse and explode all too quickly. The prudent quietly shrug off offense. Shrug it off. Some of you are doing that now. I love it. Like water off a duck's back. Let it go right off of you. You know, the great theologian Kenny Rogers once said, you got to know when to hold them. You got to know when to fold them. You got to know when to walk away and you got to know when to run. Right? Come on, you got to quote the great theologian, Kenny. If you're a person who continually effuses, that's a totally different word. We'll start there next week. If you're a person who offends people often, can I just say lovingly, with grace, can I lovingly and a smile on my face, stop being a jerk. Ephesians 5:4 says, coarse jesting and joking and all those things. And most of the time, if you're that kind of person, man, you can dish it out, but it's tough when it comes back, right? It's tough when it comes back. And the Bible says, hey, that's not for us. Do something totally different than that. Rejoice in the Lord. Do something different, okay? So that's number one, scandalizo. The second one is called scandalon. Scandalon. You'll see it on the screen. Something said or done that causes another to be offended or to be trapped. So what I want you to see with this one is this is a trap. And what happens is there's a spring that's right here. And you put bait on the spring. And the animal then is enticed by the bait. They go into the cage. And when they go into the cage, the trigger is set. And so here's what the Bible is trying to say, okay? It's saying somebody says something to you. Somebody does something to you. Somebody has offended you when you were young or today or in the future. And it could be minimal or it could be really, really severe. Here's the point. It's a trigger. And the bait of Satan has been set, and whatever they have done to you has enticed you now to be offended, and the trigger goes off, and now you're the one who's in the cage. You're the one who's offended. The person who offended you, the person who abused or trespassed or whatever that means, they're outside of the cage now because we've taken the bait of Satan. The bait's there. Scandalon is the trigger. Now I'm in here. Now I'm offended. Now I'm angry. Now I'm defensive. Now I'm bitter. Now my relationships are broken. Now I can't see the truth. And I'm in my own self-imposed prison. Some of you remember a little bit older band called Creed, right? You guys remember them? Scott Stapp describes a self-imposed prison. Here's what it sounds like. A court is in session. A verdict is in. No appeal on the docket today. Just my own sin. The walls are cold and pale. The cage made of steel. Screams fill the room. Alone, I drop and kneel. Silence now the sound. My breath the only motion around. Demons cluttering around. My face showing no emotion. Shackled by my sentence. Expecting no return. Here, there is no penance. My skin begins to burn. This place of being trapped by offense leaves the offender outside the cage and it places you inside the cage. Offense can be the most debilitating. Let me just make a statement. I think offense is the biggest issue, the biggest hurdle in Christianity in America today. Because what happens is I'm locked into this cage and now I have such regret, such remorse, such bitterness, such envy. I want to get back so much that I walk in unforgiveness. And the scripture says that we can't walk in unforgiveness lest I block my relationship with God himself. If, on the other hand, You're someone who has caused the offense, and we've been on the inside and the outside. Here's what the scripture says, Matthew 7, 1 through 5. This is the message, and it says, it's simple. So the first one and the little one, scandalizo, I said, you know, lovingly, don't be a jerk. And so this one, when we get to here, I want to say lovingly, be very careful about offending somebody to the degree that they're trapped in offense, because it is serious business with Jesus. Serious business. Here's the message version. Don't pick on people. Can we say that together? Don't pick on people. Don't pick on people. Don't jump on their failures. Don't criticize their faults, unless, of course, you want the same treatment. That critical spirit has a way of boomeranging. Church, don't, have you ever experienced this where you're just saying, man, I just wish, and you throw that boomerang, and all of a sudden your wishes come right back to you, and all of a sudden you're dealing with the difficulty. The critical spirit, it boomerangs. Three. It's easy to see a smudge on your neighbor's face and be oblivious to the ugly sneer that's on your own. This scripture, maybe you've heard before, and it says to deal with the plank in your own eye before you go to deal with the speck in your brother's eye. Can I get an amen? Amen. Deal with the plank. This other scripture in Luke 17, 1 through 2, New King James Version says this. Then he said to the disciples, it is impossible that no offense should come. We are all going to be offended. We're all going to have opportunity to be offended. We're all going to be the offender. We are all going to face offense. But the right kind of defense will help you to overcome every offense you face in this life in Jesus' name. The right kind of defense. But woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. And so it's not just talking about children, it's talking about hypocrisy. And hypocrisy, especially around, in and around things of religion and the church, that's why so many people get hurt in religion and church experiences, because of the hypocrisy. And so what it looks like is if somebody is coming to Jesus, and if somebody is trying their faith, and if somebody's trying to pray, and if somebody's trying to come to the Lord, then the hypocrisy, lots of times in leadership, anywhere in the church, when somebody sees that, then now they're triggered and now they're trapped, and here's what they say: I'm never going to church again. I'm never going again, and I don't want anything to do with them. I don't want anything to do with that. I don't want to. And the same thing can happen with men and women, can it? I'm never. And so we're inside the cage and we say, I'll never do that again. I'll never be with them again. I'll never go. I'll never try that again. And so we lock ourselves into this diminutive, hellish kind of cage. And all of a sudden the hypocrisy becomes something so offensive. Now I'm in trouble. Here's our defense. And the summary of this, I'm going to give you the scripture that comes behind it, but the summary of this is very, very simple. It's very, very simple. I just want you to get this. Do you want to know what the defense is? Okay. All right. Thank you for asking. God bless you. That's awesome. Here's the defense. Do for them what your Heavenly Father did for you. Super simple, right? If I had a mic, I'd drop it and walk off. Super simple. Do for them, say them, do for them what your Heavenly Father did for you. Jesus climbed up on the cross, and when we were angry at him, he wasn't angry at us. When we were unforgiving with him, he was forgiving with us. When we're unmerciful to him, he's merciful to us. When we judge and rail against him, he does not judge, but he gives us grace. He climbed up the cross and he shed his blood for us. And so the simple adage, the simple thing that we want to have today, the greatest defense, the kind of defense that you could have that overcomes every offense, is to simply do for them what your Heavenly Father did for you in Jesus. Luke 11, 1 through 4, New King James Version. Now it came to pass, he was praying in a certain place, and when he ceased, that means he stopped. I got to interpret the King James for you a little bit, right? When thou hast ceased. Some of you got that. That one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, and I would ask you, let me invite you to join me, okay? Everybody is familiar with this. It's the Lord's Prayer. Here we go. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. There you go. There you go. And do not lead us into temptation. Father, don't let us take the bait. Whatever they did, whatever they said, however it came out, whatever the picture was, whatever the offense was, all the terrible things that happened to me, whatever it was, don't let me take the bait and the trigger fall and then let me be in the cage. Don't let me fall to temptation, and God, deliver me from the evil one. Deliver me from the evil one. See, that's the person. If you want to get angry at somebody, get angry at the devil. If you want to get angry, fall on your knees and pray some angry prayers. Shake hell. Matthew 5, 43 and 44, New King James Version. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. And all of us could say, check. That one's easy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Whew, checkmate. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. That's a high bar. That's Christian. That's what Christians do. You say, how in the world could I do that? You just do what he did for you, that's all. You just do what he did for you. I get it that we get mind lock. I get it that we get gridlock. I get it that we go, there's no way I can do that. And I want you to know, you can't. But he can, and he has. Romans 12, 14 through 21, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge. Woo! Woo! Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. And I want to say this to you, especially those of you who've really, really been hurt, really, really been offended. You've really been trespassed severely. I want you to say this. There's not a single action that a human being commits on planet Earth that is not recorded by the judge who is Jesus. There's not a single action. Let me say it again. You need to understand this. There's not a single action. See, what I want is I want immediacy in the court of the physical court. I want immediacy right now. I want to see my event. I want to be avenged in a way that I could see the person that caused me to suffer. I want to see them suffer. Isn't that right? Okay, what God says is every single event in human history, every act by every human being is recorded and judged by Jesus. And so I want you to get this picture. I want the judge to give me grace, don't you? Okay. And I am going to trust him enough to take the person who's offended to me, and I'm going to hand them off to him. There will be judgment for everything. There will be judgment. You need to hear this, because otherwise you can't release it. There will be judgment for everything that took place against you. The idea is you don't have to be the debt collector. You don't have to be the one who collects the debt. Jesus is the sweeper. Jesus. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you'll heap burning coals on their head. Do not be, and I want you to say this with me, okay? And I want you to kind of sit up a little bit. Let's get this in your spirit. Say it with me. Do not. Because do not be overcome by evil. But overcome evil with good. Come on, that's good stuff right there. Come on, that's good. The right kind of defense will help you to overcome every offense. The right kind of defense will help you overcome every offense. Here's the benefit or benefits. They're multifaceted. I'm going to move through them pretty quickly here. Forgiveness allows us to gain or regain our spiritual vitality and growth. Some of you have been stunted in your growth. Unforgiveness scorches the fruit of your spiritual life. when you're in this cage, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, they fade away. Because I'm angry, I'm hurt, I am upset. And I have one or multiple things and people to blame, but I'm still caged too. Forgiveness opens or reopens our ability to receive God's intention to bless and expand our territory. Unforgiveness limits our ability to walk in the expansiveness of God's grace because I'm caged, I'm limited. I don't know where God wants to expand my territory. I don't know what God wants to do with me in the future because I've made my world small. When you live in a fence, your world gets smaller every week. Number three, forgiveness allows you to gain or regain your strength and your overall health. Your strength. The unforgiveness, the Bible says, rots the bones. It brings infertility, hypertension, heart disease, and that's just to name a few. There are other ones. I just don't want to depress us this morning, all right? There are other ones that come with it. 3 John 1:2. Forgiveness grants us the ability to release, and this is one of the biggest ones in our culture. Forgiveness grants us the ability to release victim mentality. Come on, can I get an amen, church? Come on. Come on, church. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, man. You're not a victim, you're an overcomer. Jesus has come to set you free. There's nothing that anyone has ever done to you to keep you in this cage. The devil himself can't keep you in this cage. Read Louis Zamperini's story. No one and no thing can keep you in this cage. You're not designed to live in a cage. You were built to be a survivor and an overcomer, not just to survive, but to thrive. Jesus has come to your aid. 5, forgiveness allows us to gain or regain our prophetic destiny that God set for our lives. You have been destined not for failure, not for smallness, not for bitterness, not for rejection, not for shame, not for guilt. You've been built for greatness. God himself doesn't make trash. God didn't make you on accident. He made you on purpose. And you have a destiny to fulfill. Ain't nobody got time for this. Sorry, I'm preaching a little bit. Is that all right? 6, forgiveness fosters a long life of productivity and promise. When we fall into this sort of understanding, sort of when we stay here, when we choose to stay here, however we got there, our soul's wounded, it impairs our body, it corrupts our mind, but the man who stayed in perfect peace follows the Lord. This is a life of rejection and a lack of peace. Outside of this, in the blood of Jesus, is a life of fullness, expansiveness, grace, mercy, goodness, and the peace of God. How much is that worth? The peace of God. 7, forgiveness allows you to gain and regain your true fellowship with Christ. And I want to tell you one of the most important things about this, and really I hope if you've been in this situation for a long time, you just said, I'm embittered and I have a reason to hold on to my offense and you don't know what they did to me. Here's what I want to say to you. Your children and your children's children's children depend on you getting out of this cage. That's what Scripture says. And when you see, unforgiveness, bitterness, when we take the bait and somebody and we're offended, the trigger is set, the trap is closed, and we live in unforgiveness. But I want you to know, when we take our offender and we hand them over to the Lord and we forgive, say forgive. Forgive. When we forgive them, the gate is reopened and we walk in our freedom. It's as simple as that. I hand them over to him. I hand them over to him. I hand them over to him. And when I do, I forgive. And when I forgive, then that thing springs open. The trap that I've been trapped in springs open, and I get to walk in my freedom. I get my grace back. I get my joy back. I get my hope back. I get my life back. Unforgiveness slammed it shut. Forgiveness springs it open. I want to invite our bands at all of our campuses. Come on, is God good? I say all of our campuses, Plant City, South Shore, right here at Tampa. And I want to ask you today, I want to ask you today to trust Christ for real. I want to ask you to give your life to Jesus today. It's very simple. What we're going to do is we're going to pray, and as we pray, I want you to know it's not magic, but it took Jesus to die on the cross. And so it's by faith that we would say, because he died on the cross, and because I know I've been offended against and I have been an offender, I know that, I recognize that, and I don't want to live that way. Whether you've been a person who's dealt with great offense, or whether, thank God, if you've not dealt with great offense and you've kind of missed a lot of this in your life, we would say to our younger selves, today is a day when I trust in Jesus and I make him my Lord and I learn how to defend myself in him. Maybe you've not gone through great offense, but maybe what God wants to do today is he wants to protect you from offense you might face in the future. So very, very simply today, I'm going to ask you at all of our campuses to, and I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me. Would you do that? Close your eyes for just a moment. Now I want you to, now we've sort of disengaged our eyes for a second. We're bowing our heads. Now I'm going to ask you to engage your mouth. I want you to speak boldly, okay? Every person at all of our campuses, I want you to say, Lord Jesus, today, I'm going to respond to your voice. In the past, I've heard you knocking. I've kept the door closed. Today, I open the door. I receive you. I know I've made mistakes. I know that means sin. But today, I receive forgiveness. I receive your grace. And I let you in. Come be my Savior. Now, on the count of three, if you prayed that at all of our campuses, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand and hold them up. I want you to hold them up for just a second, okay? On the count of three. One, two, three. Slipping your hands up today. Hold them up. Hold them up for us. Hold them up for us, will you? Hold them up for us, okay? Thank you, 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 Jesus. Lord Jesus, thank you. Hold them up nice and high. Come on up. If you're trusting Christ today, let me see your hands. If you're trusting Jesus today, slip your hand up. If today you're saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. Can we get to them right there, right here? Would you lift your hands up? Okay, thank you. Others, all right, I see you. I see you way up there, way up there. Double hands in the bleachers, in the balcony, in the balcony, in the bleachers, anybody. I don't want to miss you. Anybody else today? Slip your hand up for us. You're saying today, look, I want to just nail this down today. I want Jesus to live on the inside of me. Anybody else? I don't want to rush this. I really don't. Anybody else? Here's what it feels like. It just feels like that pull where you're saying, man, I want to trust Christ. And did I miss you? Where you at? Where you at? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Anybody else? Okay, you guys can look up here. Man, there's just certain, so there's, you know, 1,000 people or whatever. I just want you to know, as we started the service today, the Lord, sometimes it's this thing that happens in the spirit, and the Lord was like, I'm praying especially for him. I'm praying especially for him. And so listen, that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. God has something very, very special for you. It's been locked away for a long time. Today's a new day. Today's a new day. So I'd like to do this. When we get into that cage, a lot of times we go through self-deprecation. And you start believing the lies that were spoken over you or said to you, or you start believing that you are actually damaged goods. You start believing the incredulous, creeping, the dark stuff about your life. And what I'd like to do right now is I'd like for you to forgive yourself. I really would. I'd like for you to forgive yourself. Because the only way to truly forgive somebody else and release them to the Lord is to first know I've been forgiven. I received grace from God. I feel like this. I have acted like this, but that's really not who I am. That's not who I was created to be. So you don't have to bow your heads or close your eyes. I want every voice here This is just us now here at the Tampa campus. They've taken the stream to South Shore and Plant City. Here's what I want you to say today. Say this with me, okay? Engage your voice again. Say, Father, I ask you to forgive me for the harmful and negative words I've spoken over myself. I believe that you died for me and that you have good for my life. Transform my thoughts. Show me how wonderfully made I am. In the name of Jesus. Boy, some of you need this today. Listen, this is prophetic. Every place the devil has lied to you, God will replace with his truth. Every place. Say, change my habits. Let me use my tongue to confess hope and favor over my own life and over the lives of others. In Jesus' name. Today, let's stand together. Here's what I'd like for you to do. Final activation today. If there's anybody you have in your heart, you need to release them, you need to forgive them, I'm just going to ask you to make your way forward. If there's anybody today, you'd say, there's somebody on my heart. There's a mom, there's a dad, there's a friend, there's a brother. That's right. Start to make your way. Come now. If you need to forgive, make your way. Make your way now. Here's what I want to do. I want to make sure today that we leave this at this altar. Are you ready? Are you ready to leave this at the altar today and say, I'm not going to carry this stuff with me any longer. I'm not going to keep quiet. I'm not going to live in shame. I'm not going to live in despair. I'm not going to be hopeless. I'm not going to let what happened to me define me. Today, I'm going to let Jesus redefine me. Today, I'm putting this offense down. I'm going to release this person. Some of you keep coming right up here, sweetheart. Keep coming. Today, I'm taking this offense, and I'm going to hand it over to Judge Jesus. Today's the day. That's it. You begin to come. Balcony, you can come. Bleachers, you can come. Keep coming, you guys. Keep coming this direction. Keep coming right here. Keep coming. So listen, by faith, here's what we're doing. I'm activating my faith. I'm saying I'm not going to stay where I am. I'm going to move my feet to the place of God's grace. I'm moving to his place of grace. You just begin to come now. Don't let anything, don't let hell keep you over there. Don't let the devil keep you where you are. Come on, let's go. Come on, let's go, church. Come on. He's greater. Come on, you make your way. Come on, he's greater.
You are greater.
So much greater. I'd like for you to look at me for just a second. I want you to know that today, by faith, as we plead the blood of Jesus today, it's not something that we have to do, it's something that's already been done. And by faith, when we say, Jesus, I turn them over to you, the trap door is opened and we get our freedom right here, right now. There's not another hour. It's not magic. It's made by faith. So here we go. Today's a new day. Today things change. Right here, right now. Today we get free. So here we go. Say, Lord Jesus. Come on, you don't keep it. Say, Lord Jesus. Today by choice. by my will, I choose to forgive. And I want you to think of him. I want you to think of their name. Don't you think of their name? Now, here's the part. Here's the part right now. You say, by faith, I place the cross of Jesus between me and the offense. And if the devil ever brings it up again, I'm going to point to what you did for me. And I ask you now, baptize me in your spirit. Come on. Fill me right now with what I don't have to do what I can't do on my own. I get into you and receive forgiveness. Now lastly, I just want you to say, I'm free. Come on, declare, say, I'm free. Come on, say, I'm free. Come on, say, I'm free. I'm free today. Come on, let's worship, let's worship, let's worship. Come on, you just sing to him right here, right now.